Hi guys, welcome back to We Should Talk, a pop culture interview series from In the Know. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and this week on the podcast, we have an amazing chat with Amanda Hirsch, the woman behind Not Skinny But Not Fat, the podcast, and also the Instagram account. Chances are you either already listened to her podcast, where she has amazing guests like Bravo stars and Selling Sunset stars, and she had Sarah and Aaron Foster on recently, and other great podcasters like Danny Pellegrino and Kate Casey, or you follow her on Instagram, where she posts amazing, amazing Instagram stories. Basically, just like everything Kardashians, everything Summer House, everything Vanderpump Rules, everything just celebrity in general. She is covering it. She is on it. And so I just wanted to have her on so I could like pick her brain. You know, I'm a recent follower of hers on Instagram. My friends Julie and Emily suggested that I follow her, and the suggestion was very on point, and I don't regret following her. You know how on Instagram the top couple stories are either the people that you interact with the most or the stories that you check most quickly or most frequently? Amanda's stories, but Not Skinny But Not Fat, are usually like top 3 to 5 on my feed. So I love what she puts up. She is always on the pulse. She always has great commentary that's so on point. So I wanted to pick her brain about all things social media, all things Kardashians, all things Bravo, you name it. We talked about it. Her internet was a little bit laggy, so if there's some laggy audio, that is why, and her internet went completely out for the last 5 minutes, so she switched to her phone, and so if there is a little bit of a quick jump at the end, that is why. But if you love anything celebrity, anything reality TV, and if you're here, that is you, that describes you, you will love our chat. So anyway, keep listening for my interview with Amanda Hirsch, aka Not Skinny But Not Fat. Follow and subscribe to Not Skinny But Not Fat, the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow her on Instagram. And also please rate, review, and subscribe to We Should Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. A review or a rating goes a long way, and we would greatly appreciate it. All right, so we're here with Amanda Hirsch, the host of Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast, also the woman behind the Instagram account, Not Skinny But Not Fat, which if you are into celebrity culture, the Kardashians, reality TV, a friend has definitely sent her at least one of her stories at some point in your life. Amanda, thanks for being here. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm good.
Good. So, you know, when I reached out to you, I told you that I'm a relatively new follower of yours. A friend, Julie, like kept being like, you have to follow this girl, Amanda, you have to follow this girl, Amanda. And I definitely been sent your stories. As I just said, like people had definitely sent me your stuff before, but I just follow so many accounts. So I was like, oh, do I really need like another like celebrity account? 100%. I needed another celebrity account in my life. I needed your account in my life. Your commentary is so on point. You don't miss anything. Do you feel it? It must be exciting that like people are still discovering your account after years of doing this.
100%. And I feel like I was just telling you when we started that I got accused by some account of buying followers because my followers have gone up recently. I've been doing this for like 4 years. Mm-hmm. And the beginning is the slowest growth. Right. It's like chugging along. And, you know, I wasn't in it for like the followers or whatever. I was in it because I loved it so much. I was like, if this is just a hobby, if this is a side thing, if this is just like sharing my love with a bunch of strangers, like I'm down for whatever. So it's more so that recently, like it really started taking off, quarantine and the fact that people, you know, were home and bored and just like give them anything and like let's obsess together. And like that's how I kind of do, you know, I'm like, let's obsess over this. Like, you know, I get into something and I'm like all over it, you know, think about it, talk about it, even though I have, you know, other things going on. So I think people can like kind of relate to that vibe of like,
definitely,
you know, you had a dream about Justin Bieber, you woke up, you're trying to dress like Hailey, you know, you don't dress like Hailey,
but we all try, right? Exactly.
But we all try. So it's just like kind of like, yeah, a window into like my life, but also the fact that being into celebrity gossip and pop culture is an honestly big part of my life. Like I don't only talk about it on my Instagram, on my podcast. I'm actually like calling my sister about it. Like right. Telling my husband who has no idea, like, no, but you don't understand. You're like, the day cannot go on because it happens. So it's actually like my life.
So, I mean, so the pandemic really did kind of affect your growth and fuel your page. And I feel like one of the moments that really kind of, I was definitely sent your stuff was around the Armie Hammer things. And I feel like there are those specific like weeks when like, I'm sure you see that big growth happening when there was like that really concentrated interest in the story. There was the Hilaria Baldwin stuff. There was the Armie Hammer stuff. There was Jen Shah on Salt Lake City. Like, there are these moments where it really pops and you can feel people who aren't even in, like, who don't really care about celebrity gossip outside of these weeks, like they plug in. Do you find that there are those moments that, and those might really fuel your growth as well?
1,000 gazillion percent. It's almost like I feel bad. Like, it was wild. I called her HB2, the Hilaria Baldwin. I called her HB2. And I was always very honest, like, guys, I've never gone on Reddit in my life, like, unless I'm sent a direct link that's like, you know, look at this, whatever.
Yeah.
So I just literally like jumped on the bandwagon of what was going on, but kind of like just being like, that was one of those things, like I was telling you, like I couldn't breathe. Like, I all day was like, no, you don't understand. My husband was like, wait, so this girl that like that isn't from Spain is pretending to be, I'm like, yes, but no, but look at this video. She's doing this accent. I'm like, how could it be? Like, I couldn't not think about it. It was consuming me, but it was also consuming so many people. And like you said, people that don't care about it, like celebrities were to my DMs telling me stories about her, being like, this is so wild. Or, and I know that I might be a little bit disconnected from reality, but I really felt that I wasn't doing it in like a malicious way. It was more so like discovering another thing and another thing. And I did at some point, because I was looking at it from an entertainment standpoint. I like called her HB2, like as if she was like in my heart, like I loved her. but then I was, you know, trying to also look at the other side of it, because yeah. I was getting a lot of people that were offended by it. And so I did have on my podcast Liliana Vasquez, who was did a great job of explaining, yeah. you know, why it was offensive and why it's problematic. So we kind of looked at it from both sides, but specifically my point of view was kind of like, this is crazy. Like, this is insane. This is commitment that we've never seen before. And it was thing after thing. So yes, at those times, like, it was wild. Like, so many, you know, outlets and magazines and whatever wrote pieces about her. But I legit got an email from the New York Times, which then I was like, I made it, bye. they were like, we're doing an expose on Hilaria and we want to interview for it. You for it. And like, I'm just giving my, like, wanted to make it very clear that I in no way am taking credit for being a sleuth.
You were helping to spread the information. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And I just thought it's still the New York Times, but I thought they were doing just like another piece about it. Like, everyone was talking about it, but they were actually breaking her side of the story. Like, she was
right. I forgot about
they
that.
They interviewed her, you know, felt kind of weird about that. I remember, because they were like, you know, white privilege that she's getting to tell her story in such on the New York Times. So being in that moment of history and being on the phone with a New York Times reporter, don't mind the fact that she didn't end up putting my commentary in, and I'm fine with it. When she called me and she was like, I just got off the phone with Hilaria and now I'm interviewing you, I was like, let me take a moment.
You're like one person removed from this situation. It's like, you got yourself to that point.
That's how I felt. I was like, wait, so you just got off the phone with her? Like, I was an idiot. I was like, I really didn't feel like I could contribute anything else than what you've already seen. But, you know, she just wanted my opinion, didn't end up getting in, but it was wild to be part of. I then spoke to the reporter about her interview and she was like telling me things off the record that were wild. So that's what I mean when I say, like, I eat, breathe, sleep this shit. Because I love it, regardless of, you know, of anything. So sharing that with a bunch of people that also care about it is wild, but you're definitely right. And then the Armie Hammer thing happened. I feel like we had like a few seconds, like
that was a one-two punch for sure. That was a lot. And that was around the holidays and everyone was literally on their couches doing nothing. So like that was... The eyeballs were like, I feel like times 10 on those stories for sure.
100%. Yeah. And that was a little darker. Like yeah, with HB2, I had fun because it was like another video, you know, of an accent and all this and all that, but, or Alec and his participation in the whole thing. But with Armie, once it got dark and Instagram accounts started to come out, that were really graphic and needed trigger warnings. And once the material became a lot heavier than, because at the beginning it was like Army's a cannibal, right? Which is such a fucking wild headline, you know, like, wait, I say what now?
But then it gets into like, you want to be treating it with like, maybe like softer hands. And then it's sort of like, okay, maybe my commentary isn't necessarily needed on some of these more intense things. Like, cause I feel like one of the things that I really love about your account is that, and it's something that I struggle with sometimes, is that like, I think that sometimes our gut instinct is to like be a little bit negative about these people and to like take the, like the negative take on something when it happens. But if you really wait a beat, it's like, there's something more positive. There's a more positive spin to have on a lot of these things. And I feel like you mostly take a positive, or like kind of poking fun, but in a fun, not like, not like mean spirited way. To me, that's what is kind of special about your account versus I think some other commentary accounts. Is that what you find? And do you find that people appreciate that about what you do?
Well, that means a lot to me that you said that, because it's so hard. I do a lot of introspection, because I think when I was a very small account, which has its perks, right? You can say whatever the fuck you want and like, it won't get to the person you're talking about. So, and I can't remember, like, listen, I want to hope that I feel in my soul that I'm not a mean-spirited person. But what I do feel is that I would allow myself to say things to everyone that I would say to like my sister, right? So if I thought Chloe posted a pic where, you know, her face looks like she literally photoshopped the shit out of it, I want to say that to my followers, not in a mean way, but like, why did Chloe do that? She's beautiful. But at the same time, because we live in such a crazy social media world where like Chloe can see my post, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a wild out of the, you know, whatever.
No, it's not at this point. No.
At this point, it's not. It gets around. Shit gets around. So sometimes I really do need to do a quick filter of like, if I put this out there, is this something that I'm okay with that person seeing? You know what I mean? Like, and I feel like that's when you can honestly be, because a lot of these small accounts, you know, and like the account I was just telling you trolled me, is like, they think, oh, Amanda's never gonna see this, right? She's like busy, she's whatever. So I can talk as much shit and I can whatever, but like, no, I'll see it. And the way I can assume, so I'll always say what I think. I can say, you know, if Kim does a ridiculous photo shoot for whatever, or a ridiculous pose, or like I said, listen, Chloe really photoshopped the fuck out of her face. Why? I won't say she looks like Michael Jackson. That's mean. You know what I mean? Or, or you know when her photo thing was going on, which I called it Chloe Photogate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they try to get it taken down. Right.
Right. So like once that, okay. So of course at the beginning I posted it, but once she was like sending cease and desist and accounts were still posted, not even from a legal standpoint, why would accounts keep posting it? You know what I mean? So like, I think there is a fine line because I do want to be honest. I do want to keep being myself and say what I think, but I think it has a small filter in my brain that's kind of automatic of like, just be okay that what you're saying is out there and for everyone to see. And if you're fine with it, then it's fine. You know,
it's this weird kind of line you have to walk, because it's like, on the one hand, they're celebrities and their skin should be thick at this point, and they're used to people talking about them in a certain way. On the other, you don't want to, you know, be mean and kind of fuel hate online because it's already bad enough. But, and then on the other, it's sort of like, and this sort of like something that I try to deal with on Twitter, where like, I'm known for my takes on Bravo and Real Housewives and all that stuff. It's like, some of them follow me now and I interview them every week. And like, and so it's that weird balance of like, you want to maintain your commentary and your voice and what people followed you for and, you know, to begin with, but also, you know, there are different eyes on you. And I feel like that's it's a tough balance. And yours is obviously on a magnitude that I can't imagine, but that's, it's tough.
I've definitely seen your tweets shared, right? Bravo historian shares.
Yeah, she's all the time.
Samantha shares a lot of them. Yes. Yeah. All the time. Yes. Love it. Yeah. It's very true. But I think like, for example, for people that watch Keeping Up, do you watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
Every week. Yeah. Every week. Yeah.
So So you saw the episode with Nori's black book that they brought her on.
Made my life. I loved that for her, you know?
So I love that for her too. How charismatic and amazing and like on a, like she's amazing. I was like, I would literally be like choking on my spit, and she had so much charisma and so much confidence.
She looked amazing, yeah.
But that's a perfect example.
Totally.
That's a perfect example. Like she's a snarky account of, for people that don't know, she Nori's black book, she made like an account as if she's like the voice of Northwest. It is so snarky. It's as if she's like this bitchy little entitled girl that, you know, just whatever. And I remember whenever like a Kardashian or a Jenner would like any of her posts, I'd be like, oh my God, you guys, like Khloe liked this, or oh my God,
Courtney
wrote LOL. Yeah. So the fact that they have a sense of humor about themselves, you know, and the fact that they not only liked it or commented, but they also wanted to meet her and they gave her like props for doing what she's doing.
Yeah. I mean, it to me, I think Kim is the one that has the thickest skin and has the best sense of humor when it comes to that stuff. But I totally agree. I think that's a perfect example. And like, she walks that line so well. And I think that she said, like, I was worried that like, you would be offended by some of this, but like, at the end of the day, like, if you're in the position of a Kardashian, like, you have to get it that like, this is sort of like this cottage industry that has been formed around them. And like, it only helps them. It only helps them. And it's well-meaning. Like, the way that she's able to write those captions is because she pays attention to them and she watches their show and she follows them. Like, and it's kind of the same for you, is like, you have so much to say about them because you are a fan of them, because you do follow them. And like, you wouldn't pay attention to them as much as if you didn't like them. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't.
That's the thing I really like. That's exactly it. Like, yeah. I like it. Does Kylie piss me off a lot? Is she maybe my least favorite? And I'm honest about it for a variety of reasons. Yes. But like, I think Kim is an amazing businesswoman. I think she's gorgeous. I think she's smart. I obviously love Courtney. I think they have a really strong like family bond. That's, you know, I think a big reason for their success and their show and everything. So yeah, it comes out of like, I love them, but I think, like you said, I remember when I was covering VPR, because I was doing like, I was pretty late with Vanderpump Rules, but I was doing I started from season one, where it was like
just recapping
six
it
or seven.
Oh my God. Okay.
That was the beginning of my shows on Instagram. Like, I think that was Vanderpump Rules is like my BB, my OG. So
it's a good place to start. That's a good place to start.
And I was like, wait, what other show can compare to like cheating with your friend's boyfriend while you're in?
We like to tell ourselves that Summer House is sort of feeding that same energy, but it's not the same energy. It's different. It's like, just because it's young people, it's different.
I was so committed to Vanderpump that when they tried to do that crossover, I was so offended. Like when they did that episode that was like,
when Stassi went to the Summer House.
Exactly. And like Kyle told her she looks like Steve Jobs. I literally was like, why are they doing this to me? And like, only it took me a few years to get over it and start watching Summer House. But so regarding Stassi, I remember I was watching Vanderpump Rules one day, and I think a couple of the cast already followed me, but I was watching Vanderpump Rules and I knew that Stassi didn't follow me. She had like the most followers. She was like the biggest, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't expect her to see any of my stuff exactly like we were talking about before. And I was like, we get it. You're a basic bitch. Basic, basic, basic. Ranch, 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 you know?
Yeah.
Literally in my screaming, annoying voice, like, ranch, 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 ranch. And literally I'm like, and then I see her little like face on the bottom of my stories with like her blue check. And I'm like,
no,
you know, and she started following me. And I thought that was, no, but that's a thing. Like, I think, and I talked to Katie about it, cause I'd already been friendly with Katie, or I don't remember. Right. And she was like, Stassi has such a self-humor about those things that like, she thought it was funny. She started following me because of it. So,
which is great, which is what you want. I want more of that. I want more of that, because I think that like, I know that you were blocked by Alec Baldwin during the Hilaria stuff. And I was blocked by him on Twitter just cause I tweeted one thing about her. And like, one, we have that in common. So I love that for us. But two, like, that's somebody who doesn't have a sense of humor at all. You know what I mean?
Love
and
it.
It's like, come on. Like, it's just like, I don't know. I just think that like more people need to be like the Stassi, like the Kim, like, I don't know. Like it's,
wait,
people
are
going to say,
what did you say on Twitter?
I honestly don't even remember the tweet that did it because
I said one thing. It's one
I tweeted her name with, but usually if I tweet something, I don't want them to see it. I'll do like an asterisk in their name so that nobody, so if they search their name, it doesn't show up because I'm verified. So like my shit's going to like go to the top and like, I just didn't do it. And it was around the holidays. I just like was spewing it out. And like somebody, it was when he started tweeting about it and put out the video. I couldn't watch it because I was blocked. And I don't remember, who knows, but it wasn't that bad. I know it wasn't that bad.
I want to know. I know he was blocking. I mean, I guess it makes sense for him to block me because I was really covering it and like was on top of it or whatever. But at the same time, you're in the press. Like, it's not like we're talking about an Instagram feud or like, this is all freaking over. Like, I'm all about blocking the trolls. Like, you're going to message me a hateful thing. You're not going to follow me anymore. Mm-hmm. But like, what are you going to block? All of Instagram and all of Twitter and the New York Times. I mean, he said the New York Post was stupid and the Page Six was stupid, but like, is the New York Times stupid? It's like Variety stupid. Is everyone stupid? Are you going to block everyone? So, and it was like, a lot of people look at blocked things as like, oh, that's under my belt. I get so sad. Like, I was legitimately sad. And like, I know it's like a little chihuahua of me to be like, why would you block me? Whereas like, it makes sense, I guess. But at the same time, like, I'm separating Alec Baldwin from Hilaria Baldwin's husband. And I'm like looking at it, it's complicated and like 30 Rock. And like, I love your
work. And it's sad. Exactly.
Why would you block me?
I know. Who else currently has you blocked on Instagram, Amanda? Who else is currently on that list of?
Shanna Mokler.
Okay. Well, that would make sense. I feel like, you know, you're Kravis's number one stan. I feel like, I mean, you don't talk shit about her, but you're the number one fan of, she just said today that like they broke up her family. So, I mean, that's her projecting a little bit in my opinion, but like,
I mean, the thing is with Shanna is like, did you watch Meet the Barkers?
Meet the Barkers. No.
So you should, it's on YouTube and I need to rewatch it. But that was one of the shows, my first reality shows. And I loved Shanna. I thought she was so hot. I thought she was so sexual. Like, I loved her vibe. Like, I know a lot of people are talking about it now and like remembering the mom she was. Obviously, back when that was on, which was like early 2000s, we weren't shaming, we weren't canceling. Like, we were just enjoying. So like, I wasn't being, you know, 14, being like, what a bad mother. Like, I was enjoying it. I loved everything about it. So, and even her commentary, I'd be like, that's savage. I wasn't like thirsty, gross bitch. Again, like,
exactly.
I wasn't mean. So it does, I was supposed to have her on my podcast.
When?
By the way.
When
was
that?
I was already talking to her like before she blocked me.
Oh my God. Did she just like stop responding?
No, I was talking to her like booker, and her booker was like, yeah, she's down. Like, obviously she'll talk about like Kravis stuff, but like, she also wants to talk about other stuff. I was like, I'm down. And I literally in my mind, you know, always adhere to the law that we talked about, which was I'm posting stuff that I'm okay with her seeing. But I guess, listen, at the end of the day, it is a weird thing to cover because we started talking about kids and, but they're the ones unfolding it on social media. You know,
totally.
I'm not getting leaked reports from the inside of her home.
So do you know what the post was that made her like X you out?
I actually don't. Because the thing is with me is like, I'm a chihuahua, but I'm also like naive. So like somebody was like, Amanda, I started getting messages that like, no, maybe I got like a message that was like, Shanna, the kids don't follow Shanna anymore. And this was like a couple weeks ago. And so I go to the kids, I go to like Landon, I type in Shanna, nothing comes up. I'm like, no, you guys, false alarm. Oh no, I said, no, she doesn't come up. They did block her. And then everyone's like, no, she does come up. No, she does come up. And I was like, Shanna? And then she doesn't come up. So every time I discover I'm blocked, it's this really pathetic, like, me trying to find someone and being like, I can't find them. I don't know.
It brings you to like it brings you to like a low point. You're like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, it's not fun. But I'm curious, like, I mean, you mentioned that it probably is like when the kids are brought into it. And I think that I think that's a common thing across celebrity. It's not just in this particular storyline. It's like, whether it's like with the paparazzi and like whether they should be taking pictures of people's kids or on Housewives. Like, it's like, we see like the kids are like the off limits thing. You know what I mean? And I'm curious for you, like, since you have become a mom a year ago, has that changed your perception of like that sort of like mentality from celebrities or reality stars or any of that? Because I'm curious if that has just sort of changed how you think about that kind of coverage of celebrities.
Well, I wouldn't say anything about, and I didn't say anything about Alabama, right? I'm not going to say what she looks like, what she's doing, you know, other things that maybe people would talk about in private with their friends. I'm not going to blast a 15-year-old.
Of course, yeah, of course.
But what I was telling you was that it feels weird to even talk about their like family stuff, right? But at the same time, I'm looking at it like they're putting it on social media. They're commenting all over Courtney, everything she does, they share. You know, it's very blatant to like the naked eye. Meanwhile, Shanna is like all over Instagram. And every time she gets the opportunity to talk about like, yeah, the kids rather be with Travis and like he has the fancy house, which by the way, I love that response of hers. I thought it was so savage.
It's very honest.
I liked it. She was like, I'm fine with my, it was very honest. She was like, I'm fine with my kids. The dad is super rich. He lives in a two double gated community. they have like, whatever. I was like, you know what? Fucking fair. In terms of, in terms of kids, aside from that, which like, I'm not going to ever talk about obviously kids and what they look like, mm-hmm. We have the celebrity emoji kids, which like, I personally don't understand the emoji.
Yes, I agree with you. It's very, it's extra. I don't know if it's the right word. It's just like,
personally, as a person, not even as a, it ruins the aesthetic. Like, you're going to take a picture and you're going to ruin the picture. Like, you're going to like ruin the picture with a, and that's one. Two, I can respect. So a perfect example of, like Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas, they had a baby, Willa, such a cute name. Mm-hmm. They do not show the baby. They do not speak of the baby. There is not a baby hand, a baby foot, a baby bottle. You know, there are other celebrities that do emojis. There are other celebrities that show the back of the head. Obviously, for example, Gigi's baby. I remember I started to get sent Gigi, like, you know, she's very protective to not show the baby, but she is out with the baby all day. She will post the back of the head, that kind of thing. And there were a couple times where people found images, but I would never post those. Like, I would never post a baby that doesn't want to be on Instagram. A baby that
the parents don't want to post, that the parents aren't posting it for, and they clearly are making a concerted effort not to. It's like,
exactly. Yeah. Then I would never do that.
But weren't Sophie and didn't like a paparazzi photo, like didn't Sophie and Joe get photographed at a gas station or something with the baby? And it was just like, I can't remember. Was that them recently?
No, So listen, I have some insider scoop on that. Sophie Turner is one of my most exciting follows, like that follows me.
It's a good one.
And that was like an exciting one for me. And I've actually like talked to her, like she's super cool and she's super nice. So she actually went, which people probably missed this, she went on an Instagram rant because she took it down pretty quickly after. She was like in a dark room and she was like with her cute British accent, she was like, to the paparazzi. Okay, I'm not gonna try to do it. She was like, what was that? I don't know.
Hey, you gave it an effort.
She was very angry. She was like a shadow. She was like with the lights off.
I never saw this.
It was like 5 minutes. I mean, it was up for 5 minutes. She was like, to the paparazzi who took the photo, like, don't, like, my baby, like, blah, blah. And I literally, as a friend, okay, so what happens, you guys, when someone says, don't do something? We want to do it. Right? So always. If she's saying a paparazzi took a photo of my baby, what is the first thing we're going to do?
We're going to go
what
look for that photo.
What is the first thing? Answer me.
You're going to look
Thank
for that photo.
Thank you. So I'm like, Sophie, I literally DM'd her, which like I've said, we DM'd before, but I was like, babe, like everyone's going to go searching for the photo. Take it down. Mm-hmm. And like, I went to search for the photo, you know.
That's good advice, and though. That's really good advice.
And it should be like the most common sense. But if you're not, I guess, a super big like social media person, or you're not like a loser like we are, maybe you don't think that, you know, people are going to do that. But I felt so bad because I was like, oh my God, she literally told the whole world that there's a photo and nobody knew there was a photo. We didn't know there was a photo.
No, like, it calls attention to it. Yeah.
I forget what it is that really, I forget what the saying is that is a perfect example of that. But anyway, she answered me and she was like, oh my God, my husband just told me that I'm a fucking idiot. And I literally, so this is like inside scoop too. So I go, yeah, not the smartest move. Told like my sister's in a smart move, and I was scared that our friendship was going to be over when I hadn't heard back from her in a little bit. But no, she was like,
we're good.
Thank you. So yeah, she was like, thank you, queen. I was like, anyway. But anyway, isn't it so wild that like you do something without thinking because you're angry, but do you know how many views you probably get in 5 minutes and how many people search for that photo like me and found it like me in 2 seconds?
And I know.
If not, maybe
it, and also it's like she's also telling the exact, she's telling the people that follow her, she's telling the people that are going to get a notification that she went live on Instagram, they're the ones that care the most, you know. It's just like
telling her fans that there's a picture of her like
that she's never shown before. Exactly. It's like, oh, come on.
I know. That's why I couldn't be like, no, rookie mistake. I was like, no, that's really actually stupid. Like, how did you do
good
that?
For but you. You're cutting through the bullshit and you're telling
you know
her.
What? I feel like most people are respective of that. And if you're not respective of kids and you're going to post a picture that they don't want out there, then that's like, you know, and it definitely is scary. Like, listen, I post my baby all day and like he's part of my everyday and I love sharing him with like my followers because the amount of love that he gets is like so crazy. And like I said, he's part of my day and I share everything, but it can get scary. It never got scary for me actually until like last week where like there was the first instance where like because of everything going on in Israel and I'm like Israel and it involved like my baby, and that even to feel that for a minute is like could make you like change your whole mindset.
I'm sure.
So I couldn't imagine like celebrities who've dealt with so much worse of invasion of privacy. So I could totally see that, still think that maybe the way is like just don't post them, like not the emojis. I'm still anti emojis.
Well, I think it's sort of like, if you really don't want to show their face that badly, just like keep that photo in your camera roll and do the behind the head shot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
but you know what I think it is? I think it's like the parents came out really good in that photo and they don't want to give it up.
The ego driven Hollywood model right there. You know, it's like,
right,
it's still about them at the end of the day.
Right. Exactly.
It. Yeah. I do want to talk about the Kardashians a little bit. We've talked a little bit about them earlier on. The most recent thing, and like, this is something that like every time they have one of these parties, Kendall just had her 818 tequila launch party at the Nice Guy. And like every celebrity under the sun was there. And like, I don't know about you, but I get like the most like unrealistic FOMO whenever they have one of these events. I'm like, obviously I never would have been invited in the first place. That place holds like 100 people, less than that. But like, I just like, I want to be in that room. Like, I want to be like, I want to see like what Katy Perry and Kate Hudson are talking about at that table that they're doing shots at, or like when Kim doesn't walk over, like I want to know all of that. When those moments are happening and, you know, people expect you to be kind of probably posting like live updates of all the content that's happening at these events and, or maybe a big moment in their lives, are you like plugged into your phone, like even though it was like a Saturday night, or like, are you, okay, I'll put that all together tomorrow. Like what's sort of like your mindset when something like that happens?
So again, I was telling you at the beginning, like my thing isn't like, no one's paying me by the hour. No one, like I don't work for People Magazine where they're like, Amanda, 818 party tonight, get on your shit.
Yeah.
So I don't, like, do I have an internal, you know, pressure of like, look at everything that's happening? Yes, but not because like I'm expected to, or not because I need to, but because I am a huge loser and want to. So I want to see who's there, and I want to see what everyone's wearing, and I want to see what's going down. But I don't, it's not like I feel like I have to,
okay.
Or if I don't look That's at good. It, then I'm going to miss out. And you know what? I watched Vanderpump Rules 8 years late and called myself a VPR ambassador. Okay. I made it a hashtag VPR ambassador. Like, that is a delusional woman. So I could post out the 818 party 3 days late and like deal with it because you're not paying me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like when you start paying me for, you know, that's why when I'll get messages like, can you do this? Like, no, but you know, that's sweet. No, I love actually interacting and if I can, I'll like answer. But my point is like,
yeah.
This is not a submission box of like what you don't like. I never watch live TV. I hate mm-hmm. commercials. I'll always watch it late. I still haven't watched the premiere of Roni.
Well, you're not missing much, honest.
I'm not giving myself like a good advertisement here to follow me. I never cover anything. Everything's late.
But this is sort of, it is sort of what I said earlier, which is like, sometimes it is smart to wait that beat anyway. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I do notice that, like, I mean, there's so many people that make a living off commentary on reality TV or celebrities or whatever. Like sometimes the initial gut reaction isn't the best one. Like sometimes the most informed thing comes the day later or 6 or 8 years later. I think that sometimes like more context helps the commentary makes it smarter.
So when I was watching Vanderpump, I didn't want to know like what real life was.
So you did ignore all of social media.
I was literally like, Jax is so hot. Like, which he was season one, you know?
But maybe you did need that context, right?
So there are some things that I do, but listen, I live for it. I live for those. And it's almost like you're waiting to see everything. I want to see what Kris Jenner was wearing. I can like feel the vibe. I'm like, oh, Courtney didn't go. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you're just like feeling the whole thing. But I don't know, you know, I never thought if like I picture myself there, because like what would I wear? Sweatpants? Like how would I even, you know, even though Katy Perry was there and she's like kind of more of my
she's
vibe.
Fringe. Yeah. She's also fringe on the group. So like I don't know. Like you can get away with a lot with that group. So I think you don't need to worry about the outfit.
What I think about literally every waking moment of my life recently has been, what the fuck are everyone's investments in 818? Because I've never seen a Kardashian-Jenner the family so like, literally, if I was Courtney, which like she's a complainer anyway, I'd be like, excuse me, you have not once posted poosh.
Mm-hmm.
If I was Chloe, I'd be like, you post Good American when you're like, I send you a PR box and like 818. Every like Justin Bieber posts a picture at 818. Like mm-hmm. everyone, the amount and like so the responses I'm getting kind of vary. Like some people are saying, maybe because it's gotten so much backlash, they're really trying to support her.
Which is fair.
Two, hypothesis two is that Kenny doesn't really have her own thing and a model will age out. So they're trying to support her venture.
Okay. Maybe. Is that are those the two main ones or are there more?
No. I think those are the two main, or they are investors,
right? Like literal
Casamigos vibe. Mm-hmm. But Kenny is the face, and mm-hmm. we just don't know it. Because listen, the amount of support is wild. I mean, Courtney didn't even go to the party, but she posted a post, not a story.
Like she was at the party, like with like behind. There was like four bottles behind the bar, right? Exactly. Yeah.
So it's like,
it's a good point. It really is.
Or hypothesis four, hypothesis four is that it's tequila and everyone's really down with alcohol and it's a more of a fun thing to promote.
I mean, I think elements of all the above can be true. I think that like, I think the, you know, Kenny doesn't have her own other thing definitely holds some weight because like, especially because she like doesn't do runway anymore. She hasn't for years. And I feel like she obviously has print campaigns and things like that, but like she is a model, but I don't know how much actual modeling she's doing these days. Like I think she like the Burberry thing recently, like maybe this really is going to be her new avenue of, or she's trying to make this her new avenue.
There's something that doesn't sell with it, you know?
Right. No, I agree.
I feel like something's happening. Like Kris Jenner is coming out with Safely, whereas I feel like that's such a Kourtney, even Khloé thing. Like Kourtney with the clean, you know, the clean products. Khloé, we know she's obsessed with.
She's got OCD, right.
She has OCD. So like Kendall and tequila was never like the first. Also, Kendall said she was a stoner, which not that you can't be a stoner and drink tequila, but it's not like your first
lean
vibe,
into so that. Exactly. Yeah.
Like lean into cannabis.
Or like, I mean, Kylie's the one that last season had like the iconic catchphrase about tequila, like getting drunk on tequila. I'm getting fucked up. What was that like TikTok sound that happened
right,
with her last year?
I love that.
Yeah. But like, it's sort of like, I agree. There is a disconnect. Like, why was the clean stuff not Poosh branded for Kourtney? Like, it's, there's a little bit of disconnect, and I don't know.
So maybe they feel like there needs to be a push, like Kendall's tequila. Like, let's really ingrain that, even though it's not a natural thing to picture, you know, because it was Kylie with the lip kits, lips, like things had made more sense. And they're not, but listen, the advertising is working because I'm dying to taste it because everyone's drinking it out of the fucking glass as if it's like water.
I need
to see like how smooth this really is.
Yeah. And I wonder if also like maybe them all getting so intensely behind it like helps the fact that Kendall's name is not like directly attached to the branding of it necessarily. Like she's in some of the campaign photos and stuff, but like it's not like Kenny's tequila, you know, it's like everyone else's brand essentially, I guess, other than, I mean, not everyone else's, but like Kim and Kylie have had the major successes because their names are on it, you know what I mean?
Right.
And like maybe putting the whole family behind something helps that kind of level that up. I don't know, but I love that there are like 4 to 5 theories going around about this because it's an important question for us to be answering.
It's very, very important. That's what I'm saying. This is important stuff.
So I want to pivot like lastly to Bravo, some of the kind of the big Bravo overarching things. Do you watch most things on Bravo or the things that, or do you watch Summer House and Vanderpump Rules, correct?
Summer House, Vanderpump Rules. I'm mostly caught up with Ronge.
Okay.
And Roni, I'm caught up as of last season. I didn't start the new season. Some would call me a fraud Bravoholic because I really don't deserve the title. I don't deserve
it. You know, I think that you go so hard on some of them that like, I think that you earn that privilege.
No, but people really, I mean, people need to, I mean, you know this obviously, but like people get so obsessed with Bravo and there's so many Bravo fan accounts and people love every franchise of Housewives and watch, do you watch all of them? Like every franchise?
I watch everyone except for OC. I can't do OC. But I do all the other ones.
So which one would you recommend the most like for me?
Right now, the current best, I mean, I would recommend that you watch Salt Lake City just because it's only been one season and it was so amazing. And like the second season is going to like, because of the Jen Shaw arrest and everything, like it's going to be such a moment. I think that like, I would recommend binging maybe the first season this summer or something like that before it comes. And then the other best one right now is Potomac. It's about to have its sixth season, but like, it's giving me that feeling that like Roni or like Beverly Hills gave me like back in the day. It's sort of, it's in its prime currently. And so like, it's kind of giving everyone their life. And a lot of people caught up during the pandemic before the last season. So it's kind of like the other of the moment one right now, I would say. But you know, Roni is definitely not having its moment right now. I would say it's definitely struggling. All right, so I know that you do watch Summer House though. So that's definitely one of your Bravo moments and you have had a good amount of those stars on your podcast. I know Hannah's been on a couple of times, you've been on her podcast. One, I would love to hear your thoughts just generally on this past season. And two, I guess more immediately, we know now that Hannah's not gonna come back to the show. And as somebody who knows her well and who also watches the show and is a fan of the show, what are your thoughts on that? Like, do you think it was time for her to go? Were you hoping to see more from her? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it was a savage, amazing season. Summer House is actually one of the only shows my husband will watch with me. What do you mean one of the only? The only Bravo reality.
I love it.
American Bravo reality show he'll watch with me because I think it's very easygoing. I think even in previous seasons where it wasn't savage, it was easy. It's like they're in the city, they're going to a house, they're getting drunk. Like you don't have to pay too close of attention, but it's not like Housewives where it could be like so manufactured that it could like annoy you that it's bad. With Summer House, it's just like
a bunch of like good looking young people in a house. It's also like the one that you could like picture yourself going on. Like, why not? Like, can I come with my baby?
It's relatable, like, for sure. It's not like aspirational. It's not aspirational like the other shows are. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Exactly. So I've always loved it. And I loved like the addition of Hannah and Paige. I think it was like season three.
Season three. Yeah. That was a really good reset for the show. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cause like I said, it started jumpy with me in Summer House. Cause I was like, no, don't like barge in on my Vanderpump Rules. So it's had wild moments this season. Listen, I think in terms of like ratings for a Bravo season, Bravo should be really happy because like,
absolutely.
It was a wild season. People were talking about Summer House in a way people were not talking about Summer House before, which is why I think I was shocked that, I mean, I actually honestly don't know if Hannah decided to leave. I mean, we never really know, right?
Yeah, I think usually what happens is like they kind of give the person the choice to like announce it themselves, or the network can announce like, hey, we're not going to ask you to come back. Like, I think generally, like, at least in the Housewives world, it's sort of like, if they don't come back, it's not their choice. That's usually how it goes on Bravo. But I don't know, I feel like the cast sort of reached an impasse. Like, but it was either like the Hannah or the Kyle, Lindsay, Amanda, Carl contingent. That's how I sort of view it. Cause like they either could have gone either direction. And I think that like, I'm guessing that Bravo sort of views the other people as sort of like really intrinsic to the show.
Yeah, but I just wonder, the only thing I wonder about that is, but like all the drama was because of her. So wouldn't Bravo like be happy?
I know. No, it really is kind of like a catch 22 because you're right. She drove a lot of the good TV this season.
But listen, the internet was going so wild about her. Even before kind of other stuff came up, they were going wild just about her on the show. Like, people just weren't vibing this season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so wild to see somebody's kind of like, not descend, but like from being so loved, you know, and I even talked to her about it in my podcast. I'm like, you started, like, it was legit crazy. Nobody had a word bad to say about you. Like, everyone loved you, thought you were so funny. You were so neutral till like this crazy season of like, so much backlash. And again, you guys, I'm talking about like on the show, what was happening on the show. People were not vibing. People were not into it.
Yeah.
People, you know, whereas like last season, the season four, people were loving it. So it's a bit just interesting, I feel like, how things played out. But again, I think it was an amazing, successful season for the show, for Bravo. What people need to understand about reality TV, and this is like important, and I'll always stress this, is like, it is real, right? So like, Kyle very much hates Hannah in real life. Hannah very much in real life is feeling all of the things. They're all feeling all of the things, you know? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter that it's produced. And that's why these people are meant for reality TV. It's because they live these like feuds and this like energy. And even though it was filmed last summer, you could talk to Kyle today and
12 months later.
Yeah. I got DMs from Kyle, like that were.
Yeah. I had him on the podcast and we had to, it was Amanda and him together and we had to wait. Amanda was 10 minutes late. So I was just sort of chit chatting with him before we started recording. And it was like, it's real. It's real between him and Hannah in a very intense way. Yeah.
In a very intense way. And that's about most shows, right? So like Vanderpump, anything, most shows. And again, with Housewives, I just feel like I'm not an expert on the subject, but yeah, listen, I think it was a good season. And at the end of the day, I thought that maybe Hannah would want to come back because like, just to like preserve her kind of mental health since, you know, going through everything this season. And also because she did get engaged. So maybe like it's less of a vibe to go when you're engaged. But again, I think you're right in that it usually is that you're not asked back. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And lastly, I kind of like, I'm not sure how her fiance would have fared in the house. I don't think they knew the fans did not want that to happen. So I don't know if they're a package deal. I don't think they are. There's no info about that. But like, I just think that like that road just wouldn't have been great for the show. You know, obviously Vanderpump Rules is your first Bravo love. And I would love to hear, I mean, a lot has happened in that world in the past 12 months. And they're obviously filming again now. And, you know, we're not going to have Stassi and Kristen and Jackson and Brittany and those two new guys, who I don't even remember their names. We're not going to, you know, a lot of them have had, actually a lot of them have had babies or they're pregnant. And like, that's a lot of changes to this show to be just between two seasons of a television show. So I'm curious what you, like, are you excited for a new season of Vanderpump? And what do you kind of think it might look like?
Listen, I'm excited, but I'm also realistic because like, the success of the show and why we were all so obsessed with it and why, and Jax has tweeted this many a times, is because they really are a group of friends and were, and because, you know, so, and they really were working at Sir. And then as the season went on, we accepted that it's like, okay, they're filming, so he's at a ship, but they're with their hair and makeup. Like, we're accepting it. We're not stupid, but we're accepting it, right? But I think that now, I feel like last season, it was like too much of, you know, Sheena's still going to work there and like the new people. And first of all, I was very hesitant about the new people.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very. And it's so wild because Dana was like the breakout star.
And she's not coming back. Yeah.
And she's not coming back.
I know.
And I was like, what? Because I remember... I legit was like, wait, this is the Dana show. And
it really was early on. Yeah.
It really was. And if you guys remember, like, she was a huge part of that season. So am I excited? Yes. Am I like worried that it might be the last season? Because if it doesn't bring it, like if Ariana and Katie don't have a lesbian love affair and like, I don't know, like
I know.
What could happen? But we do have Lala. Even though Lala,
she's a newborn. Kind of... She's a newborn too. It's sort of like I just don't know. It's interesting if we want the. I feel like they know we want the drama out of them, but like, how are they like going to get themselves to like get so invested in like, or like, where's the tension even going to come from? I don't know. It's tough.
I think it's kind of like maybe going to turn into like a Housewives where. With the Housewives, we know, right? Like I said, mm-hmm. most of Bravo fans are pretty. Yeah, exactly. So we know they're coworkers. We know a lot of it needs to be kind of like manifested mm-hmm. and curated to happen. So I feel like with Vanderpump, it's going to be the same thing where it's like these group events that we know would never happen if they weren't filming mm-hmm. and like things like that. So it's a little disappointing. But of course, we'll watch. I mean, this goes without saying whenever we talk about it, I think, of course, we'll watch.
Yeah, of course, we'll watch, yeah.
But I also know closely that they know, and we know that we know, that they have to bring it this season for it to
It's make it or break it. It kind of is make it or break
exactly.
it for Vanderpump.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. Well, Amanda, I feel like I could talk to you for 5 hours, but, you know, I think this is probably a good place to cut it. Where can people follow you and listen to you, after they listen to this interview?
Not skinny, but not fat, to be, you know, days late and years late on everything going on. And no, I'm just kidding.
But sometimes very on the pulse, mostly very on the pulse. Okay. I have to say that.
But mostly on the pulse. Yeah. So not skinny, but not fat on Instagram and, you know, anywhere you can listen to podcasts.
Yeah. And guys, she has amazing guests, Summer House people, Vanderpump people, Selling Sunset people, Sarah and Aaron Foster. You've had amazing guests. So it's definitely subscribe and listen to Not Skinny, but Not Fat if you have not already done so. And Amanda, thanks so much for coming on. This was so fun.
Thank you so much. It was so fun. Thank you for
so
having
fun.
Me.
Yeah. We'll talk soon. Bye.
Okay. Bye, babe. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. For more celebrity interviews, subscribe to We Should Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us, as any show of support you can give us would be greatly appreciated. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Twitter and Instagram, and you can follow In The Know at In The Know on Twitter and at Watch In The Know on Instagram. We'll talk to you next time.